you, Leia, will be the chief of state for the new republic. If I had any strength left to give, I would give it all to you. You'll need it to hold this newborn republic of ours together." Mon Mothma closed her eyes and squeezed Leia's hand with a surprisingly firm grip. "Even when I'm gone, I will be watching over you." Speechless, Leia knelt at Mon Mothma's bedside for a long time, far into Coruscant's night. 30. Inside Maw installation, one of the members of Wedge's Special Forces team had deciphered enough of the primary controls to sound the facility-wide alarm. Through the intercom system, an unfamiliar voice barked, "Red alert! An Imperial Star Destroyer has entered the vicinity. Red alert! Prepare for attack!" Wedge stood next to Qui inside her empty old laboratory as they gaped at the scarred and blackened hulk of the Gorgon. The mammoth ship maneuvered into position over the cluster of lashed-together rocks. "Oh, my," 3PO said. "I thought we were supposed to be safe in here." Wedge grabbed Qui's pale hand. "Come on, we have to get to the operations room." They ran through the corridors. Qui did her best to lead him, though frequently she couldn't remember which direction to go. 3PO, his servo motors whirring, tottered after them as fast as he could. "Wait for me. Oh, why does this always happen?" Inside the operations room, Wedge was relieved to see that a dozen of his troops had gotten there ahead of him and were already scrambling to operate the controls. A few of the computer banks had malfunctioned, but the rest had been jump-started. Sensor arrays spilled data across their screens. Wedge put his hands on Qui's shoulders, pressing his face close to hers and looking into her big eyes. "Qui, try to remember, does Maw installation have any of its own defenses?" She looked up through the latticed skylight, seeing the looming arrowhead shape of the Star Destroyer. Qui pointed up. "Those were our defenses. Maw installation depended entirely on Admiral Dalla's fleet." She hurried over to one of the deadened computer consoles and used her musical keypad to whistle her password into the system, hoping to bypass the damaged circuits with her own files and select some of the higher-order functioning routines. "We do have shields," Qui said, "if only we could increase them." 5 harried technicians came over to help her, using their own expertise to access the generators and reinforce the protective force field around the primary planetoids. "That'll hold for now against an assault," Matek said, "but this makes me very uncomfortable, General Antilles. The power reactor is already unstable, and we're placing a tremendous drain on it. We could be sealing our own fate." Wedge's gaze flicked to Qui and then back to the soldiers. "Well, it's certain death if we don't do something to protect ourselves now. We've taken what we need. I think it's time to leave Maw installation. Have the ships prepare for departure." "If Dalla will let us," Qui said. "I doubt she'll allow us to walk off now that we've uncovered its secrets." Wedge's eyes suddenly blinked in realization. "We took one of the Corvette engines offline for spare parts for the power reactor. One of my ships is crippled and can't move." He ran to the communications station and switched on a narrow beam to the disabled Corvette. "Captain Ortola, launch all starfighter squadrons from your bay. Now, take all personnel and shuttle over to the Yavaris or one of the other two Corvettes. Without maneuverability, your ship is a prime target." "Yes, sir," Captain Ortola's voice acknowledged. The broad trapezoidal viewscreen at the far end of the operations room surged with static, and then an image of fiery-haired Admiral Dalla filled the screen. She leaned forward into the viewing area. Her eyes seemed to throw pointed javelins right into Wedge's heart. "Rebel scum, you'll not leave Maw installation alive. The information contained in this facility is now forfeit, tainted by your sabotage. I'm not interested in your surrender or your flight. Only your destruction." Dalla ended the transmission herself before Wedge could formulate a reply. He shook his head at the flickering static that faded into a dull gray. He turned back to Qui and felt his heart pounding. "Qui, are you sure there's nothing else here we can use? Any other weapon?" "Wait," Qui said. "Chewbacca took a team down into the maintenance bay to rescue the Wookiee slaves. There were always several assault shuttles or fighter ships being worked on. Maybe those?" One of the New Republic commandos snapped his head up. "Assault shuttles? Probably Gamma class. They're nothing spectacular, but they are heavily armored and well outfitted with weapons, worth 10 of our starfighters. It could be a welcome addition in the battle. Dala's got only one star destroyer against us, but she still outguns the combined force of the corvettes and the Yavaris. The squad leader looked down at the scrolling list of equipment on the data screen. Just as I feared, sir. These are old models. They require a piloting droid to fly complicated maneuvers, especially in this gravitational environment. We could probably do it with only one droid and cross-link to the separate navigational systems. At that moment, with heavy footfalls and buzzing servo motors, 3PO hurried into the operations room, emitting a loud sigh of relief.
Ah, there you are. I've finally found you.
Wedge, Qui, and everyone else turned to look at the golden droid. 3PO moved forward, his arms waving in dismay as he negotiated a steep ramp into the rock-lined maintenance bay.
I don't know why everyone keeps treating me as if I were some sort of property, he said.
Chewbacca grunted a sharp retort, and 3PO snapped at him.
That's quite beside the point. In actual fact, I...
Chewbacca lifted up the golden droid and set him bodily on the entrance ramp of a Gamma-class assault shuttle. The recently freed Wookiee slaves, along with a group of New Republic commandos, scrambled into the five armored shuttles that remained in the bay. Each ship had been maintained in perfect working order by Wookiee crews. From above, sudden hollow thumps echoed through the asteroid as the Gorgon pummeled them with turbolaser blasts. Chewbacca and the other Wookiees howled at the ceiling, their bestial noises echoing louder than the thunder of attack. Faint dust trickled down, split from the sealed rock walls.
I still think I'm going to regret this, 3PO said. I wasn't designed for this kind of work. I can communicate with other tactical computers and coordinate your flight paths, but putting me in charge of strategy...
Chewbacca ignored him and climbed into the vehicle. Seeing that his arguments were useless, the golden droid shuffled up the ramp into the confines of the assault shuttle.
But then again, I am always happy to help where needed.
The other Wookiees, including stunted old Nauruan, took their places in the gunnery seats, ready to blast TIE fighters. Chewbacca slumped into the assault shuttle's too small pilot seat and made 3PO sit beside him in the co-pilot's chair.
Oh, very well, 3PO said, and inspected the computer, deciding how best to communicate with it.
More explosions from the Gorgon's attack pounded through the thick walls, but those noises were soon drowned out by the growling purr of the shuttle's repulsor lift engines. Chewbacca raised the heavily armed ship off the floor and guided it down the launching corridor. Atmosphere containment fields sealed behind them just before the heavy launch doors opened into space like a huge vertical mouth. 3PO linked up to the guidance computers and the directional programming of all five assault shuttles. Behind them, identical vehicles flew in a tight formation, picking up speed.
This is rather exhilarating, 3PO said.
Chewbacca punched at the controls until the shuttle rocketed like a projectile through the launch doors and away from the installation's protective shield. Above, swarms of starfighters streamed from the Corellian corvettes. The frigate Yavaris began to fire on the Star Destroyer as Dala continued to rain turbolaser bolts upon the installation. From the lower bay doors of the Gorgon, squads of TIE fighters streaked out like spooked Minox from a cave. Chewbacca powered up his weapon systems, and 3PO linked into their pre-programmed attack patterns. The five assault shuttles from Maw installation plunged into the heart of the burgeoning space battle.
Oh, my, 3PO said.
31. When Leia answered the summons at the door to her quarters in the rebuilt Imperial Palace, she saw it was the deepest hour of the bustling night. For a moment, she had a thrilled thought that Han might have come back from Kessel already. But when she rubbed sleep from her eyes and opened the door, she found her brother Luke standing there. She paused a moment, utterly astonished, and then rushed forward to embrace him.
Luke, when did you come to Coruscant?
Out of the corner of her eye, she caught sight of another young man standing off to the side in the dim corridor. She recognized the tousled dark hair of Kip Duran. His eyes were deep-set and averted, no longer the brash teenager that Han had rescued from the spice mines of Kessel.
Oh, Kip, she said in a flat, unemotional voice.
Seeing the young man unnerved her. He had been Han's dear friend, a companion through enjoyable adventures. But Kip had also gone over to the dark side, paralyzed Luke, killed millions of people, turned on Han. Kip's face and eyes looked old now, exhausted from the traumas he had endured and caused. Leia had seen eyes like those only once before, on her brother after he had faced the knowledge that Darth Vader was his own father. But Kip had been through a hell as deep as Luke's had been. A small courier droid shot down the hall, blinking red lights to warn others to clear the way as it propelled itself along on urgent business, even this late at night. With a flush of embarrassment, Leia remembered her manners. "Please, come in." From the back room, Winter emerged, gliding forward on silent bare feet, wearing only a loose sleeping garment. Winter appeared ready for action, lest some other danger throw itself upon the children. She bowed her head forward when she saw Luke.
"Greetings, Master Skywalker," she said.
Luke smiled and nodded to her.
"Hello, Winter."
Winter backed into her chambers.
"I'll just check on the children," she said.
She vanished, giving them no chance to say anything else. Leia looked from Kip to Luke again, feeling deep weariness behind her eyes, behind her head. She had been relying on too many stimulant drinks, spending too much time negotiating with other council members, sleeping too little. Luke closed the door behind him as he and Kip entered the common room. Leia remembered when her brother had trained her in this room, trying to unlock her Jedi potential. Now, though, she sensed that Luke had a much more ominous agenda.
"Is Han here?" Kip blurted, looking around the quarters.
Leia noticed that he still wore the black cape Han had given him as a gift, but now Kip seemed to carry it as a symbol over a light jumpsuit, a reminder to himself of what he could become.
"He's gone off to Kessel with Lando," Leia said, a tired smile tugging at the corners of her mouth. "Lando wants to try running the spice mines."
Kip frowned uncertainly. Luke sat down on one of the self-conforming cushions and leaned forward, weaving his fingers together. He directed his intense gaze at Leia.
"Leia, we need your help," he said.
"Yeah, I figured that out," Leia answered with a touch of irony.
"I'll do everything I can, of course. What do you need?"
"Kip and I have made our peace. He has the potential to be the greatest of the Jedi I am training. But there's one thing he must do before I can consider him completely absolved."
Leia swallowed, already afraid of what he might say.
"And what is this one thing?"
Luke did not flinch. "The Sun Crusher must be destroyed. Everyone in the New Republic knows that. But Kip must do it himself." Leia simply blinked, unable to say anything.
"But how can he destroy it?" she finally said.
"As far as we know, it's indestructible. We already dropped it into a gas planet's core, but Kip,"
she turned her exaggerated gaze on the young man,
"managed to retrieve it. I don't suppose even dropping it into a sun would have made much difference."
Kip shook his head.
"No, I could have recovered it just as easily."
Leia looked helplessly at Luke, spreading her hands.
"So what else?"
"Kip and I will fly the Sun Crusher back to the Maw. He will set the autopilot and drop it down one of the black holes. Quantum armor or no quantum armor, it will be obliterated. There's no more definite way of erasing something from this universe."
Kip piped up. "I know the Sun Crusher must be taken away from both the Empire and the New Republic. Dr. Zooks no longer has any memory of how to reconstruct it. The galaxy will never need to fear such a threat again." His posture stiffened, his chin rose, his eyes grew alive again. The guilt and pain were replaced with a look of pride and determination. Luke placed a hand on the young man's forearm, and Kip fell silent, content to let Luke continue.
"Leia, I know you've been appointed the new chief of state. You can make this happen."
He leaned forward, speaking to her with the idealistic, boyish energy she remembered from years before.
"You know I'm right."
Leia shook her head, already afraid of the enormous diplomatic battle she would have to face at the mere mention of Luke's preposterous request.
"There'll be a lot of heated discussion. Most of the council members are going to refuse to let Kip get within sight of the Sun Crusher again. What's to stop him from rampaging around the galaxy and blowing up more star systems? Can they take that risk? Can we?"
"They have to take that risk," Luke said. "It must be done, and I'll be there with him."
Leia bit her lip. Her brother could be so forceful. She knew him well enough that she wasn't simply awed by what the Jedi could do, but she was confident that Luke could follow through on his claim.
"Do you know what you're asking?"
she said in a soft, pleading voice.
"Leia, just as I had to face our father, this is a test Kip must complete. Tell the Council that if he passes this test successfully, Kip Duron could become the most powerful Jedi Knight of this generation."
Leia sighed and stood up.
"All right, I'll try."
Kip interrupted her and said,
"There is no try. Do or do not."
Then he allowed himself a wry smile, gesturing toward Luke.
"At least, that's what he always says."
32. Han Solo gritted his teeth as he yanked on the Falcon's controls. The modified light freighter flew up and around in a tight backward loop. The blinding flash of the Death Star's super laser faded to a glowing streak as the rubble of Kessel's moon mushroomed in a rapidly expanding cloud.
"That was going to be my garrison," Lando cried.
His voice cracked.
"First Maruth Duel, now a Death Star. This deal is getting worse all the time."
Mara Jade, her face hard as chiseled stone, quickly leaned between Han and Lando in the two cockpit seats and shouted into the comm unit.
"This is Mara Jade. All ships report. How many did we lose? Did the evacuation order go out on time?"
One of the cool-voiced Mistral guards responded.
"Yes, Commander Jade," the warrior woman said. "We scrambled at first sign of the intruder. All but two ships made it away from the base. One more was struck and destroyed by the flying debris."
Mara nodded grimly.
"Then we still have enough of a fighting force," she said.
"Fighting force?" Han said. "Against that thing? To do what? It's a Death Star, not a cargo freighter." He looked through the overhead viewport and saw the skeletal prototype over Kessel. The superweapon seemed to be brooding over the destruction it had just caused.
"But Han," Lando pleaded, "we've got to do something before it blows up the planet, too. Think of all the spice down there."
Mara grabbed the comm again.
"Attack Formation Gamma," she said. "We're going to head out and pound that Death Star."
She turned to Han and lowered her voice.
"If it's just a prototype, my guess is they won't have the defenses the real Death Star had. No squadrons of TIE fighters, no turbo laser fortifications across the surface. That's what did the most damage to your rebel fleets, wasn't it?"
"Not entirely," Lando said. "The second Death Star used its super laser against a few of our capital ships."